children. A blessed eternal go away. Come before you this morning to bring a petition for your goodness, grace, and mercy that you have shown unto every one of us, to every family, and to us in this assembly. Lord, thank you for caring for our needs, our spiritual needs, our physical needs, our material needs, the needs of our health. Thank you for your help that we have received this past week. Once again, it has gone to history, and we know the testimony we are bound to the glory of your name. Thank you for journey mercies that you granted to travelers, long and short journeys. I thank you for helping the workers. Thank you for every one of us. Thank you for healing the sick, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for inspiration. Thank you for faith. Thank you for everything you have done, making a way for us to come to your house this morning to be blessed of you. It's because we know you have your blessings in store. You will not ask us to come in vain, as we are told by the scripture. You are more than sufficient to meet our needs, and all our needs we present before you this morning. Lord Jesus, as needy people, we pray, gracious Lord, you give us grace, Lord, to accept your plan for our lives, to accept solutions that you have prepared and provided to our problems. Grant it, eternal Father. Give us humble hearts. Give us revelation, or give us understanding and the grace to apply your word. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your blood that is always there interceding for us. We pray, Lord, that nothing will stand between us and you this morning as we commit ourselves to you, that you will prepare our hearts, Lord, for the blessings of the entire day. Let it be so that at the end of the services, we will have every cause to glorify you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. Let us open our Bible to 1 John chapter 3. Sorry, 1 John chapter 1. I mean to say. Verses 5 and 7. Verse 5 to 7, rather. This then is the message which we have heard of him and delivered unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light and as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. God bless you, seated. I intend to continue with the Sunday school. In the Sunday school, with the topic we treated last week, Wednesday, and on Sunday evening. To conclude my thoughts on it, because that Sunday, you know, I knew I was just kind of rushing, you know, because just an hour was not sufficient for me to do what I just used to the work. So we continue with the power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. We read the scripture, because that's the scripture that we read before, and that's the scripture that we want to make do with. Now, We're talking about the power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. As we look at God's word, we realize that God is the one that instituted the blood by himself, because he had a great plan, like we have said before. He had a great plan of redemption. And the only thing that he decided that he was going to use to make atonement for the sins of man is the blood. He decided that on his own. He wasn't advised to do that. He was not forced to do that. God was not He was not coerced to do it. It was a decision that he took on his own, because that is what pleased him. Because God has no advisor. He has no one that he takes counsel with. So, on his own volition, he had planned that. And that is why the prophet made us to understand, to properly understand that the blood was God's plan to use for the atonement of man. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, and in the two places in the scripture, and chapter 17, you see. He said, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the Lamb book of life, slain from the foundation of the world. The prophet said, before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. Before Jesus visibly came to the earth, right in the mind of God, before he created anything, the Lamb was slain. So he already saw redemption. He already planned redemption. Everything about what was going to happen on the earth already been concluded by God in his mind. So the blood that we are talking about is not just, God is not just talking about the blood from Genesis. It's before Genesis, the issue of the blood. Because God's, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Chapter 17, same verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not. I'm just picking these verses from the scripture. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wander. And those who will wonder are those whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Book of life from the foundation of the world. You see that two presentations there. If you can go back to chapter 13, verse 8. Wait, I want you to take note here. Whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. So our names have already been written in the book of life before the foundation of the world with the blood of Jesus Christ. It's already been written before God created the angels. Before anything existed outside after God, when he was all alone with the eternal thoughts inside of him. The prophet said he saw everything, and being infinite, knowing the ending from the beginning. So he saw every plan. So that is why the denominations that we pray for somebody who has come out, or people who came out to give their life to Christ, it's always very funny when I came to the message. And I realized that, you know, it's just a jamboree. By the time somebody comes forward and say, I want to give their life to Jesus, and say, they will pray for them, oh, Father, write their names in the book of life. Write their names in the book of life.
is written here. Names are already written in the last book of life before the foundation of the world. No more names are added,
and no names will be taken out of it in the Lamb's book of life, not in the book of life. Name will be taken from the book of life. I think we understand the difference between the book of life and the Lamb's book of life.
So it's written. So no name, no matter how much somebody is well loved and everything, that name cannot be added
because it's already written before the point. It's sealed.
Another can be taken from, no matter how much that person is hated.
It's not that decision for a man to be saved, to be included in the program of redemption, is not for man to take decision about. It's an exclusive right of the Almighty God, who is the Redeemer.
So he has taken that decision before anybody, before he created anything.
I'm still emphasizing something there. Whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world?
Okay. Whose names are not written in the book of life or in the book of Lamb slain? Two things there. Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world?
You get it?
So this presents to us that the Lamb has been slain before the foundation of the world. And what we now see in chapter 17, verse 8, is that with that blood
of this Lamb slain here, it is what is used. It is that blood that is used to write the name in the Lamb's book of life.
Before the world began. So as we are seated here, if your name is there, blessed are ye.
Oh,
and if the name is not there, woe
unto that person.
Jesus Christ told Judas Iscariot, said, it would have been better that he was not born.
So, and this calls for desperation on our part to seek our God.
Now, the power that is in the blood of Jesus is what we are emphasizing. So let us know that there is no forgiveness of sin, there is no prayer answered, there is no deliverance
outside of that blood.
No forgiveness of sin. As we read in Acts chapter 13 the other time, verse 38 to 39, talking about the law and grace. It is the blood of Jesus that makes the difference. It is the blood of Jesus that made the difference. Of course, there was the blood issue in the Old Testament, but it was the blood of bull and animal. The blood of bulls and other animals. Blood of ram, blood of goats, as God dictated to them for specific offering. That's a specific animal that's supposed to bring. Now, they were also having sacrifices and the rest of it.
But in this Act chapter 13, we were told that there are sins that could not be forgiven then.
Oh yeah, present it.
He said, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that's Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin.
A real atonement.
No, hold on.
Forgiveness of sin.
Now, in the Old Testament, they are also forgiven. We talked about that. But we are trying to see what the scripture says there.
Forgiveness of sins.
Oh yeah.
And by him, all that believe, that is, and by Christ, all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. So there are things that they could not be justified by the law of Moses
in the Old Testament
because it was the blood of bull and animal. But when the perfect sacrifice came, he's telling us here that all that believe are justified from all things
that the law of Moses could not justify you from.
So as we say, and that is why there is no blasphemy to the elect of God. Though the elect of God, there is no blasphemy. A Christian does not commit unpardonable sin.
He cannot. He can't cross the line.
Because there is a strain. There is a program. There is a customization. Those who are who knows a little bit about computer will understand where something is customized. If a particular software is not customized in your phone cannot use it. It will not be activated in your phone. And if you want to, if you open your phone, you see that it looks gray. It will not be, it won't be dark. It means that you can't use that. It's not customized to be used in your phone. So it's limited. So a Christian is customized.
Not to go away from God, but to stay with God. Let's read from the Lamb's total deliverance. A total deliverance from paragraph 84. From paragraph 84.
That is the way Moses.
Let me a little bit. Yeah, why you have it there? Let me also get it out of here. Sorry. Also, I'd like to read from my own. 84.
That is the way Moses and his group did. They got over there and got under the blood.
Now I want to follow this. The prophet titled the sermon A Total Deliverance. A Total Deliverance.
That's the way Moses and his group did. They got over there and got under the blood. You notice, until they got under the blood, there was no total deliverance. Moses himself, he was unified with God, but Israel wasn't. There still was sin. And they murmured against Moses, and they said, why do you do this? You bring more trouble upon us. Because Pharaoh just doubled their tally of bricks and so forth.
This is when they were still in Egypt.
That was Moses. He was completely in the hands of God, totally delivered from sheepheading to head godship. He was totally delivered himself. But the people weren't delivered because there was still murmuring among them. One night, when God ordained that the lamb should be killed, type of Christ, and the blood was dipped in hyssop, which just with the prophet said that blood that was killed was a type of the blood of Jesus Christ, the lamb was a type of Christ, and put over the lintel. That was the instructions God gave unto them, that they should kill an animal, and then put the blood on the lintel and on the doorposts. Dip in hyssop, which just with common umbo, and put over the lintel of the door and on the posts. That is when Israel became completely delivered, with not a hoof left behind. All that belonged to them was delivered. Their families, their loved ones, and everyone was delivered when they completely come under the blood. That is when the church shall be completely delivered. When everything comes under the blood, when your sins come under the blood, when you're smoking, when you're gambling, when you're cheating, when you're stealing, when you're lying, when everything is brought under the blood, then there will be a total deliverance. When your slandering comes under the blood, you will wrong somebody, make it right. You can't bring that under the blood. It won't stay. You can't bring it. Somebody won't let you do it. I mean, something. Something won't let you. The God's word. It is God's word. It is commandment. It's requirement. We're not allowed. You have to make it right. And then your sins will be forgiven. The blood will be applied to that sin. Then there's forgiveness. But until you make it right, then your sins remains. There are sins will come in that you tell God, you look unto God and say, God, please forgive me. And he does that. There are sins you come in that looking unto God alone will not be sufficient. You have to go and make it right before the blood can be applied. It's still the same God. For instance, when a woman, or a man has gone ahead to live immoral, breaks their marriage vow. When a man leaves his wife and leaves with another woman outside, a woman leaves her husband and leaves another man outside, be married. The prophet said, you have sinned against your marriage vow. You cannot go to one corner and go and say, oh God, forgive me. Please, God, forgive me. I claim your blood. I do this and that. You can sing all the songs that the blood, that has the blood in it. The prophet said, I don't care how many times you are prayed for. He said, you have not sinned against God. He said, you have sinned against your marriage vow. God will not forgive you until you have gone to your husband to tell him, or you have gone to your husband to tell her. Until you have gone to your husband to tell him, or until the man goes to his wife to tell her. You can't bring that under the blood. It don't stay. You can't bring it. Something won't let you do it. When you yourself is completely, totally brought under the blood, there will be a total deliverance. Then you will have a freedom like you have never known before. Oh, when everything is brought under the blood, brought in submissive to the kingdom of God, then there will be a real deliverance. The reason there is no deliverance, we don't experience total deliverance, because, like we said the other time, God, there is something against us. Our sins haven't come under the blood. God is still holding us guilty. Now, in book of Romans now, yeah, that's it. The psalmist says it. So, Paul quoted it in Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, he quoted it. Let's read it. I'm going to read from verse 1. Because it's a... What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, as one. For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, to him that walketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that walketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. You see? Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the law will not impute sin. To whom the law will not reckon sin. To whom he will not record sin. Again, you have done this. It's written against you. Blessed is the man. And what can do it? On what ground? On the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ does. Praise be to God. And that is why it is possible for total deliverance to take place. As we back to total deliverance, paragraph 87. Jesus was completely, totally man. He could cry like a man. He could eat like a man. He could be tired like a man. He was completely, totally man in his physical being. He was 100% man. The prophet said that 100, he had to be 100% man to be kinsman to us. To be kinsman to us. And to be kinsman to us, and to be qualified as our redeemer, he doesn't have to come by the way of sex. But yet, he has to be kinsman. So that's why he was immaculately born. That's why God has to create the germ of life that comes from the man and the egg that comes from the woman to mix together. God put them in the womb of Mary. And that formed the body of Jesus Christ. That's why he says in Hebrews chapter 10, he said, a body hath thou prepared me. Offering a sacrifice that wouldest not, except for the body that God prepared me. It was that body that God prepared, which the blood of God was flowing inside. Now, I was trying to explain this somewhere else. The baby is connected to the mother through the umbilical cord. Isn't it? And the very purpose of the umbilical cord was for feeding. To feed the child. It's just for feeding. The blood of the woman does not infiltrate into the body of the baby or flow or infuse into the body of the baby. And that is why when you take the baby to, when they want to check the DNA of the baby, the mother's DNA is not in the body. It is the father's DNA that will check there. And they will see this is the father. Of course, there is paternity test. That's the way they do it, that this is the mother of this baby. But that is not reckoned in the scripture. Is the blood in the male is what reckoned to claim the fatherhood of the baby. So it is the blood, created blood. And that's why it's the blood of God. So it's not the blood of man, it's not the blood of a Jew, it's not the blood of a Gentile, it's not the blood of a Samaritan. People who see Jesus as a just ordinary prophet, just the third person in Trinity, they are deceived by the devil. The very God, the Almighty God, that we always call Elohimare, according to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, verses 6 and 7, tells us that the everlasting Father, a baby that will be born. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. A child is born, a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Baby, a child. He shall be named, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, baby. A son. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. Baby. Baba Yeraye. That's the way Yoruba calls it now. And it's a baby. It's a child that is born. And it's the one we are talking about. That's why the denomination misses. They cannot see that this Almighty God that we call Jehovah, that lives in heaven, they cannot see that he came down in the flesh for the purpose of providing atonement, the blood for our atonement. They couldn't see that. And that's why they hack him into three. They feel that the Father is different from the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost is different from the Son. It's the same. They are officing that the same God occupied for the purpose of redemption. Oh, may the Lord open our eyes. It's the same God coming in three different offices. As the Father above us, as the Son with us, God with us. The Bible says, Emmanuel, God with us. It's not just ordinary name that we name Emmanuel here. How many Emmanuels are here? Stand up, let's see. Emmanuel. If your name is Emmanuel, let's see you. Stand up. I'll be on your feet. Yeah, God bless you, sir. Any more Emmanuel? Where about Emmanuela? Like they say in the Catholic. God bless you. We have three Emmanuel here. Look, God bless you. They just carry the name. They are not our God. It's just a name given them. But Jesus Christ was born God. According to this, a child is, unto us a child is born. A son is given. He was born God. So they were not born God. Are you getting me now? Father-mother relationship produce their flesh. You get it now? And it's a sinful thing. Sinful body. That's why Jesus was qualified to be our redeemer. That's the reason he's the only one. The only one. That's why when in chapter 4, in the book of Revelation chapter 4, when John looked, after it has been announced that who is worthy to take the book from the hand of him that sits upon the throne. Nobody was worthy. The prophet said the Pope was there. He was not qualified. The archbishop, they were there. All the religious great men, presidents of the world, they were there. Leaders of churches and everything, they were all there. All human dignitaries, they were there. They couldn't do any. Angels were there. The elders were there. When John look and say that nobody is going to redeem us, we are lost. He began to cry. And then one of the elders told me, I said, John, why are you crying? He said, the Lamb The lion of the tribe of Judah. He said the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. And he's the one that is worthy to take the book from him that sat upon the throne. And the prophet said, that's still a mystery too. Because here he still has sat on the throne, and here is the lamb. Now he said, lion of the tribe of Judah prevailed. He said, lion, behold, it was a lamb. And when he looked at the lamb was bloody. Slain before the foundation of the world. That is God condescending himself. The prophet said, that's a mystery. The Almighty God that sat on the throne was the one that became the lamb. Now, I was telling people, I said, look here. I said, when we talk about the matter of a Christian, things that concern a Christian, I said, the Almighty God is involved. The Almighty God is concerned. He is serious because that man is God's project. That man is God's project. Just like any other elect of God is God's project. Every elect of God, they are God's project. So whatever a Christian is passing through at any point in time, God's attention is upon him. And whatever is lacking in the life of that man, in the circumstance of that man, in the situation of that man, the great day over the Creator, the supernatural God is able to make available. Because he is the owner of the man. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Our God is the Redeemer. So, that is why he had to condescend for the purpose of saving me and saving you. To shed his blood for our atonement. For our redemption. And the prophet told us, what is the word redemption? The redemption means to bring back to the original position. And that's why the prophet told us here that God, the way God sees us, it's just because the time is not sufficient for us, you see, this time. It's just because the time is not sufficient. The prophet said, a Christian, once he becomes a Christian, the blood atones for him and all his sins are forgiven, he has a right standing with God. The prophet said, God does not impute sin to that man any longer. The way God sees that man, the prophet said, God sees that man the way you saw him before the foundation of the world. When he wrote his name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Pure and perfect. And that's what the blood of Jesus Christ affords us. May the Lord be our head. Let's bow our heads. The power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Our blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you again for seeing us through the week that has just ended. We thank you for your cares, thank you for your protection, thank you for your deliverances, thank you for your provisions. We are grateful unto you for bringing us to witness the beginning of another week. Thank you for this book called the Bible. We are very grateful to you for men that you have used in diverse ways to put the book together. Lord, it contains a lot of parables and it's a mysterious book. Father, we thank you because it pleases you. We remember what time you spoke to parables to the people. Your disciples ask you, why in parables? You say, because unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Say, but to them that is not given, hearing will they hear. They will never understand. We thank you for a portion of it again this morning that has been passed across to us. We ask, O God, be your children, may your revelation accompany the same in our individual lives. In the name of Jesus Christ. And after that, give us grace to be able to line up our lives with the same, O God, knowing the great and mighty things that you have accomplished for us. It was because of us, O God, as salvation, that you let your glory to be manifested, Lord, as a baby in a manger. We are grateful to you for revealing this mystery unto us. Having known this, O God, give us grace to live a life that is worthy of your calling. Thank you, our Father. Blessed be thy holy name. We look forward unto you for the rest of the services of the day. May you continue to bless us, Lord. Your servant that you have used, may you replenish him for the virtue that has left him. Thank you, our Father, for granting these petitions. In Jesus' most wonderful name, we pray. Amen.